Technorama, episode 312 for June 29, 2011. We need a warning label.
Well, here goes nothing.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where's the line to be the new star of Jackass?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 29, 2011. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm okay.
I was waiting for something like Bootylicious to come out or something.
Bootylicious. What?
Wow. Just no originality this week, I guess.
No. I have not had time today to be original.
We were talking a little bit before the show. I completely understand.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's one of those days where the sun and the moon are probably not in sync or something, and you know, it's just one of those weird days where everything is just off kilter. You ever have those?
When the moon is in the southern sky.
I knew
one of those.
It's the age of aquarium.
Not aquarium. Wow. This is why we don't sing on Technorama. Because most of us don't know the words.
Right, when people ask my son, I tell him I'm aquarium.
All right. With that, let's get this train on the tracks again. Coming up in this episode, we have a lovely note from Sean Connery, some things that once were lost but now are found, Amazing Grace. What would happen if you woke up and found out you were dead? All that and more coming right up.
Hi there, this is Tom Smith, the world's fastest filker, and now back to Chuck and Craig.
World's shortest sweeper right there. Hey, we want to get started. We want to introduce the team to the podcast. We have a chat room going every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. We want to see you there. Just go over to chuckchat.com/technorama, and we'll see you there. In the chat room this week, we have, let's see, I'm going to go from the bottom up. ZML2008, Redwood Frog, Oak Tim, Gru, NCAF1, Debdrup, Captain Rootbeer, Claudio M, Ben Vaughn, and AD Deciduous. And, of course, you and me. That didn't have a chance to come up with anything original, but it looks like we have a tree theme going on, would be my guess. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have June 29th is Martin McKay. It says, this is the big 40, but I think this is a little dated material.
He's 50 now.
June 30th, yeah, this is what happens when you do Technorama for a number of years. June 30th is AD Dude, our own Alexis Duran, who's in the chat room right now as AD Deciduous. And July 4th is Mike McBride. Happy birthday to you guys. And if you're not on the birthday calendar and it happens to be your birthday, we wish you all the best and want to see you on the birthday calendar. When it does come around, just go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'll see you there. On this day in history for June 29, 2011. It was on this date in 1891 that the street railway in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada commences operation.
There goes the 10%. First test of Wallace Turnbull's controllable pitch propeller happens this date in 1927.
It was also on June 29, 1928 that the Outer Bridge Crossing and the Gatefold Bridge in Staten Island, New York are both open.
And Joseph Armand Bombardier of Canada receives the first patent for sprocket and track traction system that used in snow vehicles today in 1937.
We have Bombardier to thank for the modern snowmobile tread. Awesome. Pilot to Bombardier. Today in 1956, the Federal Aid Highway Act of 1956, well, that's a good name for it, 56 kind of lines up nicely, is signed, officially creating the United States Interstate Highway System.
And today, the Space Shuttle Atlantis docks with the Russian space station Mir and promptly blows it up. No, just kidding. For the first time in 1995.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to astronomer George Ellery Hale, born today in 1868.
And also born today in 1903, electronics engineer Alan Blumlin.
Greek mathematician Christos Papakriakopoulos was born today in 1914.
Say that three times fast. Filmmaker legend Ray Harryhausen reaches the ripe old age of 91 today.
Is he still alive? Wow.
Well, he's still aging.
American astronaut Charles J. Precourt turns 56.
And finally, another American astronaut, George Zomka, celebrates his 49th birthday. And on this day, I completed all my lines without messing it up, unlike Chuck. Yeah!
And the way it was on this date in tech history for June 29th, 2011.
Good news, anyone?
Hey, we have some good news. We have a special report from our own Bruce Barr out there. Sweet. In the field. He was at, what was it called? Maker Faire?
And I was just getting ready to get worried about him because I hadn't heard from him in a while.
Yeah. Well, he was at, what did you say it was called? Maker Faire?
Yeah, Maker Faire. They have them all over the place, but the main one I think is in San Francisco, and there's a big one in Texas. But they have littler ones. They have smaller ones all over the place, you know, with Make Magazine, Maker Faires.
And he stopped at the one when it stopped in Kansas City and got us this special short interview with, what was it, Arc-Attack. Sounds like something you go see your doctor for a bypass. But yeah. Let's listen.
All right, this is Bruce, also known as Mr. Gadgets, and I'm here in Kansas City with Joe from Arc-Attack out of Austin, Texas. And these guys are really, really cool. They actually play music on giant Tesla coils. Rock and roll music. Now, Joe, the first thing I want to ask you, and this is as interesting to me as the Tesla coils, this is a really bitchin' robotic drum player that you have here. I took a picture of it. Did you just not like the drummer? You didn't want to take him on tour? What's the story there?
Okay, well, the story is that we met this guy through a local nerd club in Austin, Texas called Dorkbot. We met this guy named Craig Neuslinger. And he was building Tesla coils, and he's just an all-around builder. He does all sorts of things. And we had dinner with him one night, and we're talking about, like, yeah, you know, we've got these musical Tesla coils. This is back when our equipment was still small. This was, like, years ago. And we're like, yeah, we're thinking about building a robot to play the drums, you know, so we can bring it on gigs and have, like, a real-sounding electronic drum set. And he was like, yeah, you know, my father wanted to do the exact same thing, and I've been thinking about doing it. And that was, like, the end of it as far as we knew. And so a couple, like, weeks, maybe a couple months went by, and we were doing another Dorkbot show down in Austin that Craig was attending. And he called us the night before, and he was like, hey, guys, the robot's finished. We got to get some music together for it. Did you catch that? You're still going?
I think so, yeah.
All right. So anyway, we set up his new robot, and it looked way different. It was way cheesier than this. We've made it way better since then. But we set it up, like, we got, like, three or four songs working with it. And after that, you know, we just started utilizing it at all our shows. And so, yeah, this drum set was built by Craig Neuslinger in Austin, Texas. He's an optics engineer at Zebra Imaging, and it's a very fine machine.
Very cool, very cool. And that whole thing is run, I guess, off of MIDI or something?
Yeah, it takes MIDI. Straight out of a standard music sequencing program, mm-hmm. And it's able to not only play the drums, but it has rotary solenoids that are velocity sensitive too, so that means that we can do flams and paradiddles and all sorts of stuff that requires touch sensitivity.
Well, like I said, it's a real bitchin' drum set. I mean, it plays the best ghost drum that I've ever seen. So, now tell me about this. I've been a couple times to Boston to the Science Museum, and they had the two old Van de Graaff generators that MIT used to have before they got a particle accelerator to do particle physics. And they play music, and they do sparks, Tesla and Van de Graaff sparks and stuff, but it's nowhere like this. So where did you guys come up with this idea that you could actually play music with the lightning?
Yeah, okay, so it started probably back in about 2003 when I met a friend of mine named Steve Ward. And Steve Ward is one of the pioneers of modern solid-state Tesla coil design. And he had a machine with him that was just a standard solid-state Tesla coil. At this point, you know, it was pretty fresh technology, and it's completely developed by hobbyists, you know. And the way that they worked originally is that they had a frequency control, and they also had a pulse-width modulation control, or pulse-width control. So basically what that allowed you to do is sweep through the frequency, and it allowed you to change the length of the spark. And so the first thing I did was grab the knob and started playing Somewhere Over the Rainbow with it. And I realized right at that very moment that all it would take is just some kind of absolute frequency controller in order to make it some sort of legitimate musical instrument. And it was probably about 2 years later we built our first prototype that used just a zero crossing detector off of a keyboard. It took the analog output and it just it clipped the output and it turned it into a digital signal and sent it to a logic controller inside of a solid-state Tesla coil. And that was the first musical Tesla coil on the face of the planet. We demonstrated it at a show called Art Outside in Austin, Texas in 2006, in March of 2006, and it was the first presentation ever of its kind. And, you know, after that, we just kind of got bigger and better. We built more and more machines until it turned into this. But it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was a very slow process.
Well, I know that art scene in Austin and live music, right? Live music capital of the world. So I know you got another show here, and I apologize for the background noise here. We're in the big old original hall from Union Station, and it's not acoustically perfect, and people are, like, firing, you know, air cannons with T-shirts and helicopters. So anyway, I don't want to keep you too long. Architect is going on a big tour this summer, so pimp some of the places you're going to be so people can hear you.
Oh, man, I don't know. Go to architect.com, ARCHTHTK.com, and click on shows in the upper tab, and you will see a list of where we're going to be from November till April.
Okay, thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. So this is the Technorama News actual live roving reporter signing off. Bye.
Wow, Bruce, that was cool.
Hey, just to be clear, he's an associate, not one of our affiliates. We're going to have to pay him. No, I'm just kidding.
Correspondent.
Yeah, correspondent. No, that's very cool, man. Thank you for thinking of us. That was very cool.
That was very cool. I'm honored. That was neat. And he said it was built, he hooked up with a guy named Dorkbot. All I could think of was that round robot from Futurama. Oh, boy, yeah. We're going to get to go see the Tesla coils.
Hey, too bad they didn't stick him in the cage, you know, where he can experience it firsthand.
Like Adam Savage. Hang on. We're playing Doctor Who.
Whatever you do, go to the bathroom first.
Our second news story isn't quite as personal, but Earthcast. You want to take this one?
Yeah. This is, as the article states right here, right off the bat, this is for space nerds. So get your browsers ready. So Earthcast will soon be streaming HD video of Earth straight from the IIS. IIS, not Microsoft.
They're going to be streaming with IIS from the ISS or something like that.
It wouldn't handle the strain. Anyway, so they're going to have some high-def video and still pictures straight from the IIS, and you can go view them 24 hours a day. It's very cool. Let's see, much of the excitement will be it's 3 feet per pixel stream of 3.25 frames video that will run 24 hours a day. So the video is constant, about three frames, a little over 3 frames a second in high def. And the stills, I think they'll be taking them, I forget the interval. But yeah, this ought to be pretty cool. And I think it starts June 28th. So that's just a couple, or actually by the time you're listening to this, it should be up now.
And it's called URTHECAST, Earthcast, I think is how it's pronounced, but I could be wrong. I couldn't say geekology for months either.
Yeah, so I don't see an immediate link to where it's supposed to be, but I will definitely put something up on the blog when this goes up.
Yeah, then you can just wait and say, I can see my house.
Yeah, I can see my house. Hey, there I am. Wave. But I'll put something on the blog and update the show notes when it comes out.
Very cool. Next up we have Hex and Stray Stories. In the Hex and Stray Stories, we have, oh yeah, the first hover bike.
It would make Luke and Leah proud.
I think it's one of, all I can think of is like one of those old radio things. Introducing the first hover bike ever created.
Yeah.
Australian inventor Chris Molloy has built a hover bike from motorcycle parts that he claims it'll fly up to 173 miles an hour at an altitude of 10,000 feet. Would you trust that?
Part of me says yes, but my mind says no.
It's a version 1.0. Would you trust that?
Hey, well, here's the deal. All right. This looks very cool. And yes, it says it'll go like 92 miles in a distance and it can go up to 173 miles an hour. It's amazing. But the idea is to have a chute on the rider. So if something was to go around, it was started to fall and you could jump. All you gotta do is let go, you know,
and
you
let it crash on somebody's house. What happens.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, but still I would do it. Yeah. If I had a parachute.
The designer says that the one-person vehicle could replace conventional helicopters for tasks over rugged terrain, such as aerial surveys, search and rescue missions, and cattle roundups. What?
What? Cattle scare the crap out of them.
Yeehaw! Round them up.
Huh. I don't know. I think it looks really cool. If I had a chute, I think he said that they were talking about putting an explosive chute on the hovercraft itself, but the rider, of course, would have one. So if something happens, you just let go, you know.
Put a chute on the vehicle like they did those small airplanes, too.
That's what they said. They're going to put explosive chutes on there, you know, where they pop out, you know.
Well, let's check out the specs on this baby. Along with two Tasmanian oak propellers, 240 pounds of hover bike has a 1170cc four-stroke engine with carbon fiber drive shaft. To lift off, the driver increases thrust with the right hand via throttle grip. Sounds like a motorcycle. Exactly like that of a motorcycle. You know, I should learn to read these beforehand, so I don't do that. At 21.8 miles per gallon, one full tank of gas can get you 92 miles. About 173 miles an hour. That's a pretty good round trip.
Hey, that's good enough for me to go to work and back.
In regards to safety, Molloy plans to add a pair of explosive parachutes or require riders to wear one.
Wait a minute. You know, when I first read that, I was thinking, that doesn't sound very safe.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Any idea on the price yet?
Too much. Hey, sell 40 grand.
It looks like he's just riding a motorcycle, but instead of tires, it's just got, you know, fans blowing down.
I've got an idea. Here you go. Wait a minute. First off, let me read this bottom part. He says, once the safety tests on the hoverbike are completed, Molloy plans to sell them at about 40 grand apiece. He and his partners currently are raising $1.1 million to push the project to the next level. Contributors so far have pledged 70 grand towards the goal. I think this is a perfect opportunity to do Kickstarter.
There you go. I was just trying to remember that.
Go put it on Kickstarter. You get a custom one if you pledge so much. I bet you could fund this.
There's a pun in there somewhere. Motorbike, Kickstarter.
I wonder if there is a limit on Kickstarter.
All right, we have some sad news.
Okay.
A 49-year-old woman from the Republic of Tatarstan had a bit of a nasty shock when she woke up in a coffin after being declared dead by doctors.
Oh, good Lord.
The shock was so nasty that, in fact, she dropped dead.
Oh.
Kazan resident Fagilyum was being prepared for burial after supposedly dying of a heart attack. She opened her eyes to find herself surrounded by praying mourners and subsequently died for real. Witness says her eyes fluttered and we immediately rushed her back to the hospital, but she only lived for another 12 minutes in intensive care before she died again, this time for good.
Wow. That would be pretty, well, that's a pretty big shock.
I would have just sat up and gone, boo! Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Hey, I'm not dead yet.
I feel much better. Shut up, you're not fooling anyone. I think I'll go for a walk.
I was watching Demolition Man. Remember that movie?
Yes.
Yes, I saw it on Netflix. and in like the recommended for you type thing. I went, oh, cool. So I started watching it. You know, it's an entertaining film. It's not, you know, it's not highbrow, of course.
It's fun. You know what Julie found on the recommended list? I was shocked that it was even on Netflix.
What's that?
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Yes, I did see
that.
She
starts watching it right before, as I'm starting to prep for the show. I'm like, don't drag me into this. Don't drag me into this. I can't tear myself away.
Back off. But I started wondering, can you really use three shells like that? Three seashells? Remember that?
Three seashells? What do you mean?
You saw the movie, right?
Holy Grail?
No. The Demolition Man.
Oh, it's been years.
Okay. Well, you know, of course, Sylvester Stallone's been in frozen cryogenic state for what, 30 something years.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally goes to the bathroom in one of the restrooms in the future. When he comes out, they ask him, you find the restrooms all right? Yeah, but there wasn't any toilet paper. And where the toilet paper should have been, when there's shelf with three shells on it. What the hell is that for? You know, there's no toilet paper in the future, just three seashells. And I was like,
interesting.
Anyway, never mind. If you don't get the reference, then I have to explain it.
I'm sure the listeners are, and I just have a bad memory right now.
Yeah.
Lego general manager fooled by his own product. This is a great gag. Legoland California's general manager, Peter Ronchetti, has a Volvo XC60. At least until a couple days ago, when someone decided to use a forklift to switch out his life-size 2,934-pound Lego XC90 made out of 201,076 bricks. I wish I had the money to pull off this kind of joke. There's a video link to Gizmodo where I don't know how he would have made a mistake. I mean, he had a gray Volvo and they put in a blue one. So, I mean, the color. But he walked out, he tried to open the door, and they show the forklift dropping this sucker off. And actually, I wish someone would paint a vehicle like this because it just looks so cool.
That looks awesome.
Isn't that 200,000 bricks? You know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen like one of those rapid prototyping, like a stereolithography model?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's made out of layers. That's kind of what it looks like because it's got that layered look, but it's still contoured.
Hey, I like how he tests the handle to see if he can open it. Yeah. Like, when he pull the handle off.
He's going to rip. Oops.
Wow, it looks great. You know what this reminds me of is I saw the other day, I may have shared it out, where the guy made the exact model, or an exact model, a model of Sauron's tower.
Yes, the 6-foot Barad-dûr.
And it looked like it was a contest with other people to make a similar model, and his was like towers, no pun intended, over everybody else's. It was huge.
It was very good. You know, but I don't understand. When I think of Legos, I think of the rectangular or square bricks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
He had like custom-made parts or something. When they showed the close-ups, it did not look like Legos.
Oh, there's a bunch of custom parts now. It would blow your mind.
Yeah, but unless Lego is out there making, you know, the Eye of Sauron Barad-dûr tower parts, where'd he get them?
I don't know. Apparently for real.
Well, yeah, he did a good job. I'm just questioning how much of that was custom made, or does that count? I mean,
he didn't custom make it. I said there's just a bunch of different shapes and size parts nowadays is what I meant to say.
Well, it looked really good, and I didn't have a movie or anything to compare it with.
Yeah, so, well, you don't have the movie?
I do have the movie, but I didn't hold it side-by-side in my browser window.
No, this isn't the scale.
Mister, I work from my lounge chair and use the TV as my monitor.
And have my evil kitty cat on the armrest. You bet.
Do my bidding.
Where do you store your hand grenades?
I usually keep them in the top of the closet, you know.
Oh, no. Apparently someone was storing them in a sewing machine.
What?
If you're a shell-shocked World War I veteran with a few spare grenades lying around, you may start to hide them in some crazy places. Like a sewing machine! A couple from Goldsboro, North Carolina, were shocked when they discovered such a grenade inside the drawer of an antique sewing machine. The grenade identified was a German model from World War I. And yes, It was over 90 years old. The grenade was still live.
That part scares me.
The couple has no idea where the grenade came from. The sewing machine was passed on from family to family and traveled to South Carolina and Florida and finally to North Carolina.
It's a busy sewing machine.
Now, here's the great part. During that time, the grenade, thankfully, did not detonate. Yeah. It must be one of those old sewing machines that kind of folds down and has the drawers and whatnot with the treadle.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that was a busy sewing machine. It was touring the Eastern Seaboard.
Live in concert! It's yeah. Singer! Woo!
Can you imagine? Imagine like your something happens, the house shakes a little bit, and you know, well, it would not be good.
As long as the pin is still in. Right?
Boy, those burritos really got to the wife. Whoa. I'm sure.
Woman dies while sewing. News at 11.
With grenade.
Woman blown to bits while mending a shirt.
Darning socks.
Darn socks.
Nah, well, you know, it's one thing. I don't have a problem when there was grenades in there, but 90 years old and still alive. There's no telling what could happen in this thing.
Hey, how many unexploded bombs are there lying around the countryside in Vietnam?
Well, see, yeah, that's true. My luck, Magneto will walk in my house and pull all the metal and pull
suck
the pins
it right
back.
Out. Hey, that's my sewing machine. All right, we're going to take a real quick break for the media corner, and we will be right back with one creepy Doctor Who toy.
Morgan. My name is Wilhelm from Germany. Whenever I am driving home on the Autobahn, I always listen to the Shock Shed Technorama podcast with his little friend Craig Stepp. I think it is wunderbar. Keep on geeking, guys. Auf Wiedersehen. Endlich ein.
Vernon Wilmer, Star Trek The Experience's Borg Drone 7 of 16. Why are you listening to Technorama? Because resistance is futile.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
First up in the media corner, if you haven't been watching the latest season of Doctor Who, you must, because there is a new toy out there. There was a two-parter where these people were kind of making clones out of what they called the flesh. And someone went and made a little Doctor Who toy with some Matt Smith parts in it, a leg, an arm, a head, and some of this white goop flowing out of the TARDIS. So, Underground Toys is offering the disconcerting slurry of flesh and Matt Smith's body parts for a bargain basement price of $11.
So. It is kind of creepy, by the way.
Hey, no worse than the unicorn meat.
No, the unicorn meat was like a little nice plushie.
Yeah, ripped to shreds with an X in the eye.
Yeah, that's right. Head X's in the eyes.
Next up in the media corner, we have a letter. Well, a supposed letter from the desk of Sean Connery to Mr. Steve Jobs. And Mr. Steve Jobs wanted him to do an Apple ad at one point. This came out on the internet a little while ago. This was supposed to be from December of 1998. It says,
I will say this one more time. You don't understand English.
You do understand English, don't you? I don't sell my soul for Apple or any other company. I have no interest in changing the world, in quotes, as you suggest. You have nothing that I need or want. You are a computer salesman. I am frackin' James Bond. I can think of no quicker way to destroy my career than appear in one of your camera or your crass adverts. Please do not contact me again. Best, Sean Connery. Okay. It turns out that was a fake.
Yeah, there was a magazine that does like the Onion type news, and they actually printed this out. Like Sean Connery, let me point out at the bottom of the letter is Sean Connery's stationary, but it has 007 at the bottom.
What's that on the bottom? I completely missed that. Yeah, it does. Okay.
You know, yeah.
So no. CNET comes back and says, first, the bad news. Sean Connery never actually sent a typewritten letter to Steve Jobs in 1998, refusing to be in an Apple ad. But the awesome news is that quite a few people believe Connery owns personalized stationery with the 007 vanity stamp in the corner, that he would have no qualms using it to dash off a letter dressing down Jobs by declaring, "You are a computer salesman. I am frickin' James Bond." Letter was actually part of a satirical article, the previously little known and yet specific humor site, Scoopertino, which peddles onion style and tongue in cheek. Hey, why didn't they say Technorama style?
Yeah.
Unreal Apple news.
Missed opportunity.
They got away with it. Man, that sucker was all over this week.
Yes, I know. Good
and
Lord.
Once it again, was... they hooked Mr. Gullible Me.
I think a lot of people were hoping it was real.
Well, what is real? I hope. You know, I never know. This could just be another hoax. Cigarette makers are going to have to put graphic pictures on packs showing how dangerous it can be. Did you see some of these pictures?
No.
They've got side-by-side regular lungs.
I did see
dirty
that.
Lungs. You know, real lungs. They've got the picture of a guy with smoke blowing out of his stoma, you know, that where you have a tracheotomy, the hole in your throat, and the smoke is billowing out. Lots and lots of pictures. And I'm wondering, what's next? Because there are a lot of things that consumers are buying that could potentially be very dangerous for you. Like cell phones have a picture of a car wreck and, you know, this hand with a cell phone hanging out the side. Or
the disembodied hand still texting.
Right. What would you do for alcohol? Have some ugly picture on there that says, if this person looks cute, you've had too much.
Yeah.
And probably one of my least favorites, you know, baby cribs.
I thought you'd written baby back ribs.
No, not baby back ribs. Baby cribs.
Hey, when are they getting warnings?
Put whatever image in your mind of a baby in a crib with the head between the bars it takes.
You know, I see their point, but they've gone too far because really, the people, actually, who doesn't know that smoking's bad for you?
Yeah, everyone, but they're not listening.
The people that are smoking and have those on there, they're not going to care.
Yeah, actually, they say that it may cause a few people to think twice. You know, you get smarter as you get older, right?
You know, no, I tell you what.
Well, go ahead.
I know a lot of people in my family that smoked in the past, and some still do. And you know where their cigarettes are at? They're in a nice little cigarette case.
You know how much more impact it is when the doctor finally tells you, stop smoking or you're going to die, like, in a year?
Mm-hmm.
You usually listen up, don't you? So I think a little more brute force is appropriate here.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
It can't hurt.
Well, I would, you know what? I would err on the side of, this is personal responsibility. Not that they're being told not to smoke, but I'm for somebody's right to smoke if they want to. For Pete's sake, if you don't know it's not good for you by now, where have you been living?
Don't they grow tobacco in South Carolina?
It would be North Carolina is where Tobacco Row is. But no, it has nothing to do with it. Same with drinking. I want to go get a beer when I want to get a beer. Still, I think they've gone a little overboard, personally.
So, since you also have opinions, let's talk about the Green Lantern.
Yeah, let's turn this back from... turn back over, right? Green Lantern, you know, they should put pictures of Green Lantern on other movies to deter them from watching movies. Nah. Let's put it this. Okay, let me back up. Actually,
Were you let down a little bit there, Craig?
A little. I'll tell you, here's how it worked. I'm kind of in the same scene. There was a lot of things that could have gone right with this film, and the special effects were great. It's just there was too much. The story was chopped up too much. It kept going back and forth, and there wasn't any common thread, you know, that really held it together. I liked it. It was a lot to like, but it just was kind of for me. On a scale from Hulk to Khan, somewhere in the middle.
So keep it on your Netflix list, and when it comes out, it comes out.
Again, it's pretty cool to see because you see this. Really cool CG world when they go to Oa and you see all the other aliens and you see them make the constructs with the ring. That's all great. But they needed a
story.
They had a
plot writing.
I think they needed a good villain to kind of draw the story together and have something going on throughout the whole story. It was like two small movies and they were coming back to Earth and they go back out in space. And it's like, I think they kind of pulled it apart.
There was no antagonist, no villain.
There was, but I don't want to spoil it for you because you kind of figure that out in the movie. But unless you want me to tell you, but people have probably, it's too soon.
NCAF says Green Lantern or X-Men First Class. I only have time to watch one.
X-Men First Class, bar none.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Green Lantern, you know, rent or check out later just to see, but... Oh, and I'm glad I did not pay for 3D.
I never pay for 3D anymore.
You know what's funny? Get this. My son is so smart. We watched the movie together. I said, so what'd you think? And he was squirming kind of like, eh, no, I didn't like it that much. And you know what? The reasons he gave me were pretty much what I told you and... what I've read online. So tell me that's pretty good. He picked up on all those things. He said the story was just wasn't, it was too choppy. I said like Swiss cheese, it had holes in it. And he said, yeah, but we both agreed the special effects were cool and it was cool to see, but nothing engaging.
Kind of like Transformers.
Well, I hope the next one's better, but yeah, the second one was.
Quickly into the geek library. You ever notice that old monitors and keyboards and things kind of yellow as they get older?
Yes.
We have something helpful for you. We have a link in the show notes. I won't read you the whole thing.
Like when the sun hits it and stuff?
Well, as it ages, it just naturally does that.
Okay.
Says it's because of the plastic that's made out of called ABS or acrylonitrile butyl styrene. Okay.
That's very nice.
In its pure form, ABS plastic is combustible. However, not the sort of thing you want to mass market a consumer product. The plastic manufactures in a variety of flame retardant chemicals, usually involving large amounts of bromine, which is a naturally brown liquid.
That's the shrimp.
The problem is that bromine undergoes a reaction when exposed to UV radiation. In other words, most sources of light, both natural and artificial. It breaks the bonds that were created during the manufacturing process and leaves bromine molecules free to seek out oxygen. This process, known as oxidation.
Hey, you sound like one of those old black and white films. Be aware of oxidation. It can be hazardous to your health.
You know, tell me, that. Mr. Bizzard, what is oxidation?
Oxidation will rot your teeth.
Let's talk to Mr. Oxidation.
Yeah. Now I need that music. Nothing, not even the original packaging, can stop it. There is a way, and we will put it in here, how you can restore your old Commodore 64 from that tannish, brownish ugliness back to its nice gray color, or whatever your NES monitors, you name it, they can be restored with some household chemicals. But warning, combining some of these household chemicals can be hazardous to your health.
And it could get the Homeland Security up to your house.
Well, you don't
be careful.
Carry it around in your suitcase on an airline, silly boy.
But it is pretty amazing, especially that first good picture of that Commodore 64 case.
Yeah.
I mean, it is clear. I mean, it's amazing how brown that gets.
I thought they were tan when they came out.
They were tan. That's what the left-hand side is right. The right is brown. Now, that tan is natural. I know that color, mm-hmm. that grayish tan intimately. As much as I know that computer's registers, I know the color of that case.
All right. Also, color changing and effects, as we can't think of any other segue. Conan O'Brien was making fun of Final Cut Pro 10 or X this week.
Did you watch this?
I did watch it. It was pretty funny. They took a whole bunch of clips of their producers and said, oh, I love the product. It's great. The editing is... And they cut over to something else. And they say, and you can make flying titles. And they kind of glance into this nether world in the sky. And there's no flying titles.
Yeah. The guy's making a gesture like, up here, you should see words. And there's
there
nothing.
Are none.
Yeah. And then there's like this cheesy used car lot type text going across the bottom of it or something. It's funny. It is funny. Because a lot of people don't like the new Final Cut Pro X.
They took a lot of stuff out. I was surprised.
Yeah, it's more reorganized than it looks like iMovie Pro. And that's everybody's like, iMovie Pro.
Well, how many different ways can you do an audio or a video editing package, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I still like iMovie HD.
I haven't used Final Cut Pro, so I have nothing to compare it with. I lost nothing.
And you gain nothing as well.
Right. Okay, well, you got that. Speaking of gaining, there are, there's a list of 10 serious medical problems with cutesy names as we round out the
like
geek library.
Or what?
Like dropsy. Do you know what dropsy is?
No.
It sounds like one of Peter Rabbit's sisters, but it's not. You know, Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Dropsy, right? And you just okay. Got to wonder, what is dropsy? Actually, it's an accumulation of fluid beneath the skin. Which...
Wait a minute. That's in the Peter Rabbit's Expanded Universe series, right?
Peter Rabbit's Intensive Care Unit or something. Dr. Peter Rabbit, MD.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound bad until you look at your hand or foot and think it looks like a bunch of Ziploc bags bursting with pudding.
Hmm.
People with dropsy mark easily, which means that if someone were to press their finger into one of your swollen areas for who knows what reason, the indentation would take a long time to go away, kind of like you're a human bag of wet cement. There's also a disease called maple syrup urine disease, Coxsackie virus, Paris syndrome, cat scratch fever. Don't you just get Ted Nugent stuck in your mind?
Cat scratch fever.
Alice in Wonderland syndrome, jumping Frenchmen of Maine, or also known as jumping Frenchman disorder, which I thought was rather interesting. It's more of a psychological thing. Broken heart syndrome, mini stroke, and my favorite, the Grinch syndrome.
Hey, by the way, there's one I don't see on this list.
What's that?
I think we mentioned it before, the user head gap.
The what?
The user head gap.
What is a user head gap?
You know, when a user has a problem and you're trying to tell them what the actual problem was, it was actually a user thing.
Oh, okay.
User, you know, it's like saying...
ID10T.
You got a nut loose on the keyboard.
Your muffler belt is loose.
What was the other? Oh, the other one, there's a short between the keyboard and the seat.
Right, right. I usually just use the acronyms like the PEBCAC, PICNIC, or ID10T.
Yeah, the ID10T. Your ID10T needs a little TLC.
I'd like to point out that we at Technorama are not medically trained, but we don't even play one on an audio podcast. So please don't take any of this.
And we do love users.
Please don't take any of this medical advice seriously. We're out of time.
What?
We're out of time. We are. Show's done. Time flies when you're having fun, which means someone must have been having fun here or it wouldn't have gone that fast.
What is that Kermit says? Time's fun when you're having flies?
We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Follow us on Twitter, ctomasistepk, or Technorama. We'd love to hear from you. And retweet us if you're so inclined, for whatever reason. Special thanks to Mad Marv for providing all the great blog content. If you're not going over to the website every once in a while or subscribing to the RSS feed, hey, you know, you really ought to. There's a lot of good stuff going on. TV reviews. There's this summer TV season going on right now. Oh, Falling Skies. Watch for it. I wrote a review on it. You can check that at the new show. Actually, it's on right now, I think. I got to go watch it tomorrow morning. Ustream, who keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday night, and thinstack.net for our chat room. Join us on Sunday night again, 9:30 Eastern. We'd love to see you there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.com. Another one down.
Take a breath.
Hey, no show on the 4th of July weekend. We will be doing family stuff, likely. Maybe Craig's going to sneak in a special. Until then, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off. Press 4